has a wisdom to children. Come as new sight to the blind. Come, Lord, and speak to my weakness. Take me, soul, body, and mind. Come, Holy Spirit.
Bow your heads in opening prayer. Father in heaven, gracious God of all creation, we struggle each day, sometimes with success, sometimes with failure. But in every situation, we feel your presence and we receive your goodness, and sometimes we pause and ask ourselves, who are we to receive such goodness? You prepare a table for us. You anoint us. You wash us with your word, and you teach us through your Spirit. We confess that we tend to see our daily bread solely in terms of our own efforts. But we are not self-sufficient. We need you. And when our pride rises too high, Father, forgive us and help us to see that all we have and all we are belong to you. We are for discernment and wisdom. We thank you that you strengthen us for the journey to which you have called us. By faith we stand. By faith we walk and work for your purpose. We profess that Jesus is alive, seated at your right hand, and we welcome your Holy Spirit that moves us to do more for you than we ever thought possible. We pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us how to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be. Well, today's message is the final segment, part four, in a series of messages dealing with being in the world but not loving it. And we've looked at scripture that teaches us not to allow the things of this world to get a grip on us. We've looked at being called out of the world system. And since Jesus is from heaven and we are spiritually born into God's family as spiritual brothers and sisters, then our origin as believers is where? It comes from heaven. We realize that our lives are detached from this world, a world caught up in an unprecedented marketing maelstrom these days. goes way beyond making a little money or losing money. Our culture is becoming supernaturally driven in the direction of greed, whether people want more or not. And Jesus, even back in his day, advised us to watch and pray so as not to be entangled in the spirit of this world. And then we reminded ourselves of how wonderful it is when simple words or simple actions from a kind saint wipe away the dusty ways of the world that seem to cling to us and hinder us from having a close fellowship with God. You see, we lean upon one another because none of us can walk this world dust-free, the dust of the world. Our world is not simply a big rock spinning in a vast universe that is merely a location for humanity to pursue physical existence or meant for human advancement. See, this is our home, but our home is also the domain of God's enemy, whose primary goal is to capture humanity's allegiance. Yes, Satan wants to establish his dominion in the hearts and followers of humanity on a worldwide scale. So it's not surprising that our position as believers and followers of Jesus becomes uncomfortable at times because we are naturally opposed to the ways of the world. Jesus said exactly that one day when he was speaking to some Pharisees. And this will be the fourth week where I've quoted this verse. I'm not putting it up this time. He was speaking to these Pharisees and he said, "You are of this world. I am not of this world." And since we are his followers, we find ourselves in tension with the world around us. How good it would be to be completely and forever free from the tension and be present with the Lord. But clearly, that is not what Jesus had in mind for the short term. He prayed to his Father not to take his followers out of the world, but to preserve them from the evil one. And the Apostle Paul echoed these words of Jesus. The Apostle Paul exhorted the believers not to have a relationship, not to have fellowship with a certain class of sinners. Uh-oh, where's Pastor Michael going now? Now, when you read these verses, especially the first one, and if you think like a Pharisee, you'll get it wrong. Okay? This is Paul teaching. "I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people." Not at all meaning the people of this world who are immoral or the greedy and swindlers or idolaters. In that case, you would have to leave this world. Well, if you were thinking like a Pharisee, you might interpret these two verses and think that Paul was instructing the brethren to stay away from godless sinners. But that's not what he was saying. Rather, Paul knew that we can't isolate ourselves from the world. And so he explained further in verses 11 and 12. "But now I am writing to you that you must not associate with anyone who claims to be a brother or sister, but is sexually immoral or greedy or an idolater or slanderer, a drunkard or swindler. Do not even eat with such people." Oh my. Paul wasn't instructing us to stay away from the world. He was saying, stop having fellowship with the moral Christian pretenders. The pretenders. Pay attention to whom you're having fellowship with. You can't escape from this world. Jesus taught us to be a shining light in this world. It's clear from the words of Jesus and the instructions of Paul that we may, and indeed we must, associate with the world to a certain extent. It is the world that God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son. The question then becomes, to what extent? How far do we go? We understand that we live in this world, and therefore we will touch the things of this world, but there must be a limit, you would think. How much can we associate with the world and still be safe? At what point do we cross over the line and risk becoming addicted to the world, the world system? Now, I don't ask this question lightly. In our society, we've seen what happens to people who are prescribed a powerful narcotic like oxycodone for treatment of pain. They must be careful not to take more than the minimum needed because oxycodone is extremely addictive. Similarly, every time you and I touch the world through any of its avenues, and we must do so repeatedly, that's life, we also must be careful because the world, like a powerful narcotic, is addictive. How much world can you take without developing an addiction to the world's ways? It's a real question. So you need to interact with the world carefully. How much money can I make? How much of my life can I devote to my job or my business without becoming addicted to my job or to money? I don't know. But what I do know is what Scripture teaches me, and this is that there is a satanic power behind the things of the world. Am I going too far, do you think? I don't think so. Especially when I look at the brutal history of humanity. You don't have to look back very far, just last century, the beginning of this century. The genocides, the world wars. When we understand humanity's history, then when we touch the world, we do so with care, continually looking to the Lord. Where is your focus? You see, it would be foolish for us to be careless, because it's easy to become entangled with worldly matters. Now, in a limited way, I can understand why some religious people desire to isolate themselves from the world. They want to withdraw from the world, sort of like John the Baptist. Go live in a safe place. But that's not the plan Jesus has for us. We are instructed to follow in his footsteps and proclaim his good news. So my question for you then is, what is your limit? What's your limit? How much world interaction can you withstand before you get hooked? If the Bible would just give us a number, then we would know for sure. If only we had a commandment that would give us a limit. Thou shalt not associate with the world more than 60% of your waking hours. Well, Jesus didn't give us a number like that. Instead, we are given a boundary that is easy to live within, much easier than following a regulation. We don't need to keep a record of our daily activities to ensure that our interface with the world is limited. Rather, our task is to abide in the Lord Himself. We are not instructed to follow a rule book. Instead, we are instructed to remain in fellowship with God, and then the Holy Spirit within us tells us when we reach our limit. Yes, it's a supernatural power that wants to pull us away from God, but it's God's supernatural power that directs our path and lets us know when we're getting in deeper than we should. In any given situation, there is a safe limit known to God beyond which we should not go. That limit is not marked down in a logbook in front of us to see. But one thing is for certain, since God knows your situation, then the Holy Spirit will make you aware that you are approaching your limit. 1 John chapter 2, verses 20, 27, and 28. I love this version from J.B. Phillips. He echoes, this is amazing. God has given you all a certain amount of spiritual insight. The touch of His Spirit never leaves you, and you don't really need a human teacher. You know that His Spirit teaches you about all things, always telling you the truth and never telling you a lie. So as He has taught you, live continually in Him. Yes, now, little children, remember to live continually in Him, so that if He were suddenly to reveal Himself, we should still know exactly where we stand and should not have to shrink away from His presence. Amazing, straightforward instruction from Scripture. I can tell you with confidence that the natural man is a person who does not know Jesus in a personal way. The natural man lives at one of two extremes. The first extreme is when the natural man or woman lives for what they have. Materialism. This person is all about acquiring stuff and living the better life. The other extreme for the natural man is the religious person. The religious person who puts away everything and is no longer concerned about anything. Like the people who hide away in monasteries. For a follower of Jesus, their lives are different. The lives of a follower of Jesus is supposed to be utterly different from either of those two extremes. Those who focus on materialism and those who focus on hiding through regulation for some of them, and for others, they squirrel away out of sight. For a follower of Jesus, the way to solve the problem of materialism is not by withdrawing from life. Rather, for a follower of Jesus, the way to solve the problem of materialism is to have your heart delivered from the grip of stuff. The Holy Spirit teaches moderation. There's no longer a burning desire to acquire more and more stuff that we don't really need. And also, when trouble comes your way and stays, we are not controlled by the trouble, because the cause of our joy remains. Buying and selling and working and doing whatever needs to be done in our daily lives go on as before. Even during trouble, Because the power of God's Holy Spirit within loosens the choking grip that trouble can have on us. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19 and verse 18. These verses are rather powerful. Verse 19 first. We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Now that's the world system, I believe, what's being taught here. The world system. Quite straightforward. The whole world system lies in the lap of the evil one. But at the same time, this verse also tells us that we who follow Jesus are of God, regardless of the ugly fact that Satan oversees our world, at least for now. We who believe in the name of Jesus are born not only the first time, but we have a second birth that comes from God. We are children of God. And praise God, because we are born again, the evil one cannot touch us, which the apostle goes on to elaborate. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who was born of God keeps them safe, and the evil one cannot harm them. And whenever men and women walk in the Holy Spirit, sensitive to the anointing they have from God, the world's attractive, addictive ways, that power becomes powerless. It can't attract us. We can't become addicted. There is a line drawn in the sand, a boundary drawn by God, and by virtue of God's presence through the Holy Spirit, the world loses its grip. When the Holy Spirit occupies these carbon shells, there is no room remaining for the evil one. Why is that? Because God fills us with His Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 16, verse 9, is another interesting verse for us to consider. In this verse, Jesus had just finished telling the parable of the shrewd manager when he said, "Here's the lesson. Use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. Then when your possessions are gone, they, your friends, will welcome you to an eternal home." Now the Greek text uses the words mammon of unrighteousness for these words worldly resources. Right? The Greek text actually uses mammon of unrighteousness. Mammon is a Semitic term for the treasure that a person trusts in. Now this doesn't mean that mammon is treasure that you get by extortion or swindling. That would be an incorrect conclusion. Jesus was, however, saying something about the very nature of money, resources. Money inherently has the tendency to lead us away from God. And this is where Jesus goes just a few verses later. And then Jesus clearly lays down the principle that it is impossible to serve God and mammon. The essence of the world is money. Our world, the essence of our world is money. Whenever you touch money, you touch the world. Let's read that verse. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. So how then do we touch money and yet not become involved with the world system? How can we do business without money? Money is the most worldly of worldly things. How do we touch money without becoming implicated with the world system? Oh, there's an answer. Since everything is done with money, it's possible for us to take money and use it to build the kingdom of God. That's real possibility. For example, the widow who dropped her small 2-coin offering into the temple collection box did something so acceptable to Jesus that she received a special commendation from him. Because of her gift, she took something out of the world system and put it into the kingdom of God. And Jesus approved. How can something that has the inherent tendency to lead us away from God, something that has an unrighteous nature, be used to build the kingdom of God? When Jesus commended the widow for putting her 2 coins into the collection box, he observed that she put in her bios. In the Greek, it actually says bios. And you look, when you go back into the verses in Mark, sometimes it's translated as livelihood. In other words, she put her life in with her money. In giving her 2 coins, she gave her all, everything that she had to sustain her life. So let me say it another way. You cannot keep yourself in the world and at the same time contribute anything significant to God. This is one of the reasons why I have problems with billionaires who only give $1 million. This principle is clear in Scripture. You can't keep yourself in the world and at the same time contribute anything significant to God that He will commend you for. You remember he wrote about how Paul wrote about the Macedonian saints who, even though they were poor, contributed to his mission work liberally. He wrote, they gave themselves first to the Lord. They were committed as followers of Christ. Then they gave to the mission work. So you may find it surprising, but if you think about it, you'll realize that God's supply of money for his kingdom is limited. It really is. However, Satan's supply of money in this world is virtually unlimited. Ultimately, all material things belong to God. Sure, he's the creator, but the amount of money in God's treasury is limited by the number of people who are devoted to him. We are a minority, after all. So the more fundamental question is, have you given yourself first to the Lord? If you have, then like the poor widow who gave her bios, her life, her everything, then you too can give in an acceptable manner to the kingdom of God. As a follower of Jesus, you do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. in Scripture. It doesn't matter what your profession is or how you earn an income in this world. What matters is simply that God and not your business or your income source must be the center of your life. Love not the world, neither the things in the world. As a believer, you have an anointing from Almighty God. Give yourself to God. Live utterly and totally for Him. See to it that the personal things you are involved with in your life, in this world, are removed from Satan's ledger and transferred to God's account. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. Amen. Hallelujah.
I see the best in the best.